Let's pray a minute, okay? I really need it now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that the Holy Spirit walks, talks, lives within us.
Thank you, Yeshua.
Thank you that we don't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost. Lord, take this message and minister in us and to us. Just simple words, great meaning. We give you praise, Jesus, and I ask you to use me as a vessel to pour out of. Let us leave different than we came. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I would like you to turn to John chapter 5. I'm going to begin with verse number 1. And read through the first 9 verses. I'm reading out of the New King James Version today. Somebody holler big when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1.
Amen.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirring up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Verse 9, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Amen. Wherever Jesus went, he could be found performing miracles. Whether it was healing the sick or raising the dead or cleansing the lepers. On this particular occasion, as recorded by John, Jesus was entering the city of Jerusalem to celebrate one of the Jewish feasts. Most students of the Bible concurred that this must have been the time for the feast of the Passover, although it's never stated plainly. Now, it is also interesting to note that Jesus entered the city through the sheep gate. This gate was designed as an entrance for all the sheep that were being brought into the city to be offered as sacrifices in the temple ceremonies. And what a fitting entrance for the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Amen. Upon entering through this sheep gate, one of the first sights Jesus saw or would see was a large pool of water that was fed by underground springs and shaded by 5 porch roofs. This water was always cool, thanks to in part to the shade and that it was an underground spring. Some scholars think that the pool was used for swimming or bathing. Others believe it was used to wash the sheep before the sacrifice, and still others say that it was used to wash the entrails of the sheep after the sacrifice. I don't think I'd swim too much in this pool. We can only speculate on some of these things because none of them have been proven. But on this day, however, there were only the sick and the lame. An infirmed mass of humanity scattered throughout the 5 porches, waiting for the time of miracles to come, which was the troubling of the water. These poor sick folks were waiting in the cool shade of the porticos, and some of the folks had people ready to assist them, while others just had to get there however they could. I've been taught to compare these 5 porticos around the pool to the 5-fold ministry of the church. God has placed the ministries within His church to help the hurting people who make a point to gather together and to anticipate the move of His Spirit. Amen?
Hallelujah.
That's what we do every Sunday morning when we come to church. We want a move of His Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The evangelist shouts that it's time for the moving of the water. Time. The teacher shows how to step into the water and how to respond to the miracles when they come. The pastor takes the needy by the hand and leads them into the water. The prophet speaks of how wonderful the future will be at the pool. And then the apostle's job is to do his best to establish new pools of deliverance for the hurting humanity. Brothers and sisters, God looks at us this morning to determine if we are just passing the time of day, participating in an obligatory act of attending church, or preparing for a visitation from Him. Are you ready for a miracle today? You see, under these 5 porches, amidst the number of sick and needy, Jesus' eyes fell upon a man who was ready for a miracle. We might ask, why didn't Jesus heal everyone at the pool on that day? What was it about this one man that gave him the special honor and privilege of receiving the healing word from Jesus? Well, first of all, we really don't know if Jesus healed anymore or not. It isn't stated clearly in the Word of God, even though the indication is that only the one man out of so many was touched by the power of God. Whether the angel ever troubled the waters again or not, we don't know. But this one thing I know. That day, in that one moment in time, the Creator of heaven and earth passed by. The Almighty Himself stopped for a visit. And that lame man's life was forever changed.
Hallelujah.
On that day, this infirmed, hopeless individual received his miracle of healing and deliverance. There at the pool of Bethesda, which by the way means house of mercy or pity, Jesus' mercy was extended to this one who was ready for his miracle.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Please understand, saints, this is how Jesus interacts with each one of us. He died upon the cross for the sin of all humanity, but he reaches into the heart of a man, one heart and one soul at a time. It is a personal deliverance that we need, not necessarily a mass move. But listen close. Multiple personal deliverances will create an atmosphere of revival.
Amen.
That will result in mass deliverance.
Amen.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Glory.
Into this arena of sin-sick and dying humanity stepped the Lamb of God, walking in through the sheep gate of God's creation to offer himself as our deliverance from sin. We, the lost humanity, are the impotent folks. We are the ones who were bound by the curse of the law to eternal death, unable to free ourselves from its clutches. We could not reach the place of righteousness and holiness. We were powerless to move forward on our own. We had no help, no one to help us. All the men are impotent in the realm of the Spirit. And dear friends, we will remain lame if we continue to doubt and have indecision concerning the things of God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 says this, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word." Lost humanity is represented as souls who are withered, for they are without faith, hope, love, knowledge, and the fear of God. They are void of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and stuck in a lifeless, helpless, hopeless, and perishing condition. Amen. Are we ready to be delivered from the condition our condition is in? Amen.
Amen.
Are we ready to be delivered from the condition our condition's in?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Believe me, brothers and sisters, when I say that the sovereign Lord of glory has his time and place to perform his miracles upon those who are ready. But God's miracles will only come when all is right, when the time is right. First of all, there's got to be a reason or need for the miracle. Jesus looked upon this lame man of 38 years. He perceived his condition, and he knew this had been going on a long, long time. It wasn't that his time spent in suffering was now sufficient so he could receive his deliverance. It wasn't even the extreme damage from a specific sin or a magnitude of his illness that warranted his deliverance. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is no respecter of persons. He doesn't favor one over another. So why then did he focus in on this one man at the pool when so many more were just as needy? Now, I won't pretend to know all the answers as to why God will heal one person and not another. And I cannot attempt to understand the mind of God or the reasons for what he chooses to do or chooses not to do. None of us can grasp those lofty things, but we must trust him to do what's best for all that's concerned. It is impossible to surmise if the lame man had been going to the pool continually for 38 years or not. But it is reasonable to assume that he would be brought there from time to time and then taken to his home when the day was done, or when the angel had stirred the water and once again, and he had missed the opportunity. No reason to stay there. the show's over. The problem was that there was no fixed period of time for the moving of the water and the flowing of God's mercy through his angelic messenger. There was no precise intervals, no set schedule, only the plan and instruction of the Sovereign One. And brothers and sisters, isn't that just like God? Just about the time we think we have him in a box. Amen. We have him in a box where we can predict how and when he will act. God moves outside our realm of thinking and possibilities and goes in a different manner. That's why we must be extremely vigilant in taking time to allow the Spirit of the Lord to have preeminence in our services. That's why I don't necessarily like programs. And that's why I never want to be a church service for it to become a form of godliness. Yes, we have our rituals, our schedules, our traditions, just as any other church does, but our liturgy must be set aside, along with all of our best laid plans and schemes, when we sense the Spirit of God begin to move in the service.
Amen.
I want God's ministry in his time.
Amen.
In his way. I want us to step in when the waters of the Spirit are troubled. I don't want any of us to be passed over when God begins
Hallelujah.
To move.
Hallelujah.
So folks, surrender to him as you sense his presence. Amen. Move with him, and you will experience the miracle of his divine deliverance.
Amen.
Under God's infinite wisdom and direction, we will see the time of the moving of the Spirit. And under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we will see the miracles of deliverance,
Hallelujah.
Healing, and salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, there are times or certain seasons for the preaching of the gospel. And there is a fixed, settled, and appointed time for the Spirit of God to draw a soul to him. In John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him."
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And then John 6, 65, it says, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted by him, to him by my Father." Now, let's consider the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Why did it take 38 years for deliverance? Why was his faith, let me say this correctly because I want you to get it, was his faith any stronger in the power of the troubled waters on this day than it had been in the past? No, I don't think that his faith was changed. Was he destined to live in that condition for a period of time because of some terrible sin he had committed in his younger years? No, I don't think that was the reason either. Was he a victim of time and circumstance? What was it, just by accident he happened to be there at the right time, at the right place, when Jesus came by? No, I don't favor that idea any more than the others. I believe all things are by design. I reject the belief that many have adapted that we are all governed by fate or karma, and there's no master plan for your life. Every detail of your life and mine is orchestrated by Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose."
Amen.
In Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good or righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way." May I suggest to you that the lame man in this biblical account received his healing on this day for several reasons. Number one, the lame man had finally given up hope for deliverance from any other source than from the direct touch by the hand of God. He had given up on the troubled waters because he couldn't reach them. He had given up on assistance from man, for the arm of the flesh had failed him and there was none to help. I think today in America, we have a faith toward doctors. The lame man, number two, had finally come to a place of desperation and was willing to accept not only the words and promises of Jesus, but to receive his deliverance from God. When he still had faith in the pool of water, Jesus' words wouldn't have been near as important to him as when he had faith in nothing. Number three, this miracle performed by Jesus brought immediate glory to God alone.
Amen.
No man or angel could lay claim to it. And number four, this miracle was intended to confound, confuse, and destroy the power of organized religion.
Amen.
And replace man's attempts to confine the move of God to a framework of human thought and religious tradition. A box. Have you been struggling with an infirmity? Either physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual for a long time? You haven't received your deliverance? Don't give up. Don't quit.
Hallelujah.
Don't stop now.
Thank you, Lord.
The absolute power, purpose, and timing of our loving Father will dictate when your deliverance will come. And please know it will come.
Thank you, Lord.
But Pastor Jerry, just what am I supposed to do until that ordained time? You just keep being faithful. Faithful. And faithful. Each day you determine to get up, dress up, and show up. Amen. God will be faithful to you as you deliberately do what He puts in front of you to do. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, Paul prayed three times for deliverance from his thorn in the flesh. No one knows what that thorn was exactly. Some think sickness, others think it was a person, a messenger from Satan, who was causing him some extreme trouble. I tend to agree with the theory that this was an actual person, because in the Old Testament, many difficult people were also described as thorns. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But what we do know is that Paul was struggling with something, and he wanted God to remove it, so he referred to it as a thorn, the pain it caused. He referred to it as a thorn. Perhaps Paul's thorn is the same kind of thorn you're suffering with right now. Please listen closely, saints. God would not deliver Paul from that thorn. But God delivered Paul in spite of that thorn. And he will do the same for you. In fact, God directs his word right now to you, just as he did to Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. The Lord will bring you through at the right time, at the right place, and in the right way. And then your deliverance will be complete, finished, powerful, and perfect. What if the lame man had given up after 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, or 37 years, 11 months, and 27 days? You know what would have happened. He would have died with that infirmity, never to experience the glory of God in the healing of his earthly body. When will your answer come? When will Jesus walk by? How long are you willing to pray? How long are you willing to suffer? How long are you willing to hold on by sheer faith and tenacity? Try to imagine the feelings and thoughts of this lame man who would lie there day after day, year after year, hoping to finally get his answer. He would watch others be healed. Others could get there so easily by comparison. Amen? They could see more clearly. They could walk more quickly. Had friends standing by to help them. Had lesser infirmities than his. And had more support groups and greater opportunities. This poor man was in worse condition than most. He had no physical mobility. He had no help. But what he did have was staying power.
Hallelujah.
Then Jesus walked
Hallelujah.
By. His love, mercy, compassion reached out to this one needy soul. Thank God for his love and mercy.
Amen.
Jesus asked a simple question, but it was profound. Are you ready to be delivered now?
Amen.
Are you ready to be healed now? Are you finally tired of trying to get a miracle in your own way? Are you tired of fighting the devil in your own strength? Are you ready to surrender your old sinful, sin-sick soul to me? Are you ready to hand over the reins of your life totally and completely? Have you reached the place where you realize that there is no hope outside of Jesus?
Yes.
Jesus' question was designed to bring into the heart of man faith, hope, and a greater desire of being delivered from his bed of affliction. Jesus wanted the lame man to contemplate his miserable condition so that he might be positively convinced and totally prepared to receive a cure. And then to ultimately value it
yes.
when it came.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He needed to not only witness, but be absolutely sure that his answer came from God alone. The lame man must realize that his deliverance didn't come through any angel troubling the waters, but through a personal encounter with the Son of God. How many other people at the pool might have been healed? We don't know. We don't know. But this man's deliverance was recorded for all time in the Word of God. His wasn't a miracle that would soon be forgotten by the world. His wasn't a deliverance of the ordinary kind. His acceptance of that deliverance was forever written down for all time. He was forever changed forever healed, forever delivered.
Glory, hallelujah.
What a wonderful thing happened.
Glory,
to him
hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful thing. What a privilege to be listed in the Holy Word of God as a man who refused to give up, who received his deliverance by direct intervention of God. Are you seeking God for deliverance from anything in your life today? Don't give up, my friend. Don't give up. The Lord is here this morning to bring deliverance to you and your house. Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to receive? We're going to do something a little different this morning. We've done it before, but it's been a long, long time. I want us to stand together, and I want you just to push your chairs back. Get the chairs out of the way. And I want us to have a mass group right here.